God help us all. The Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast is about to begin. The Medicare podcast that lost the coin toss. Playing with the Queen of Hearts, knowing it ain't really smart, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is the podcast that creates turmoil for those people who would prefer that you bought inferior Medicare products, and it creates confidence in those people who are willing to listen to the factual information that I address in the podcast and in my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man. The 2024 edition is out. Amazon.com has the shelves stocked with the paperback. The Kindle version, which is instantly available to be sent to your reader, nothing like instant gratification for $4.80, and the hardcover, the classic, the most important, the anchor of our series of books is that hardcover tome that holds all the Medicare knowledge between those two classic hard covers. And I'm trying to sell it to libraries around the country because it has the information on the spine that libraries like to have for their patrons. So I'm going to be donating a couple of editions, a couple of copies to the Cave Creek Library and the Desert Foothills Library, I guess it is. And I'll be seeing if other libraries won't be interested in getting excellent Medicare information. You might be interested in getting Medicare information from me. And the reason for that might be because you've got a Medicare event coming up in your life at some point. You might be turning 65 at some point in the future, or you might actually be working right now and you're getting old and crotchety and it's time to think about walking away from the company that you've slaved for such a long time. Well, then it is also time for you to think about your health insurance that is not going to go with you when you walk away. You're going to have to get your own. And that is likely going to be Medicare plus a Medicare supplement. So if you buy one of my inexpensive books and read all about Medicare, you're going to have the knowledge that you need in order to sail through life fully protected against unexpected or unpleasant medical charges. And if you need elucidation or explanation, or if you need a licensed insurance agent to complete your Medicare coverage acquisitions, all you need to do is look on about page 8 of the book, and there's going to be my contact information. It's going to be an invitation to you to use me as your agent, and I will happily take you on as a client, help you across the Medicare threshold, and send you on your way without any unpleasantness at all. You're going to be so happy that the whole thing is all over. It'll be fairly painless and very inexpensive when you do it my way. So by all means, give me a call or actually send me an email. Randy will give you my email address at the end of this podcast episode. And we would love to have you as a client for your Medicare coverages. Speaking of Randy, he and I were talking a little bit about his adventures in Ireland. It occurred to me that I have had a recent episode in which I was watching a television show that inspired me to do a little research, and I managed to trip over some Irish history. So let's say hello to Randy, and then I'll tell him what I discovered that he might enjoy reading about. Randy, it's good to see you. How are things going for you?
It's good to see you too, Doug. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. The sun is out. The weather's starting to warm up a little bit. I'm in a much better mood than the last episode we recorded.
Yeah, we were both kind of grumpy. You know, when I get up in the I'm in Arizona. If you get up in the morning and you look out and it looks like Nebraska,
yeah,
that's not a good thing.
No, it's I had the horrifying experience one day of talking to a guy in Illinois I think it was last week, and I said he asked me how things were going. I said, "Well, I'm in Arizona. How could it be bad? You know, this Arizona's like heaven on earth." And he said, oh, yeah, well, it's 71 degrees here today. I think that's warmer than your temperature right now. So that was a very nasty thing for him to do. And I slammed the phone down and walked away from a potential source of revenue just because
I know. And of course, I've told you this before, but just for the edification of the podcast audience, I torment the people that I know back in Nebraska, because when they're like, you know, up to their eyeballs in snow, I admit to doing this. I will call them up and go, hey, Frank, you know what I had to do this morning? And they'll go, no, what? Well, he knows what's coming.
Yeah.
No, what? I had to scoop, I don't know how many inches of sunshine off of my driveway.
Have you ever called and accidentally discovered that they've had a streak of warm weather and they're warmer than your Arizona temperature? That's a little embarrassing.
I have, but I don't admit it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, in these days of caller ID, I'm surprised Frank even picks up the phone when he sees your name on it.
Well, you know, the other thing that I typically, well, you know that as a, you know, almost, you can claim to be a native Arizonan, you've lived here enough. Okay, so you know, we are required under state law to, when you cross the line and they say, hey, what's it like living in Arizona? It's so freaking hot, I would never live there. But, and then you say, what? What do you say?
It's a dry heat.
Yeah, but it's a dry heat. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
That, we all have to say that. Otherwise, if we don't agree to do that, we get kicked out.
Well, the thing is, I wish we had come up with something less inviting years ago, because there are getting to be too many people here.
There are.
And it's not as much fun driving around in the old Corvette or, you know, any classic car as it used to be, because there are too many stoplights, too many people, too many lanes of traffic. And it's not the same as it was when I first came here in 1956, when there were just roads out in the desert. Now those roads are all major thoroughfares.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what, you know how to get around that problem, Doug. I've mentioned this in the past. You haven't taken my advice yet, but you may.
Well, tell me what it is, and I'll
when you're
let
out
you know.
Trying to outrun the traffic, put a blower on your vet.
Sure, cut a hole in the hood. That's the problem with the blower. Otherwise, I would do it in a hot minute. But cutting that hole in the hood is just something I'm not ready for. But I'll tell you something. It's just that we attracted people here by writing back home and saying, hey, Martha, bring all the aunts and uncles and the kids out here, because that's, it's right, a paradise. Start a new life in beautiful Arizona. Well, now Phoenix is something like the fifth most populous city in the country.
I think it's even higher up the list than that now, but
it's hidden to number one, and we don't need all those people.
No,
I wish they would just go away.
We should do something like that to make them go away. I don't know what that would be. I scared off some people one time years ago buying a house across the street.
Uh-huh.
My friend and I were sitting out in our, well, you've sat out in my cul-de-sac driveway.
Oh,
with
sure.
Me. Okay.
Yeah.
We were sitting out there looking at his dad's rifle, hunting rifle.
Uh-huh.
And he had recently put a scope on it. So we're sitting out there in the driveway. We weren't sighting at anything important. We were looking at the moon with this scope.
Sure.
And people were driving down the cul-de-sac looking at these two hillbillies drinking beer, looking at the moon with a rifle. And I don't think he got any bids on his house for, you know, 10, 15 days.
Well, that kind of reminds me of one of my neighbors across the street here, people we dearly love. They decided they were going to sell and move back to Spokane. They wound up not doing it. I think I was responsible for that, because one day a car slowly drove by. I was outside, and a car slowly drove by staring at their house with the sign in front of it, the for sale sign. And then the old lady driver rolled her window down, caught my attention, asked me to come over to the car, and I did. And she said, is that house noisy? Is there any noise that would disturb somebody who doesn't like noise? And what had happened was, this was during bike week.
Oh, we
live in a cowboy town, but in certain times of the year, it fills up with Harley Davidsons, and you get to hear the sounds of burning petroleum coming through, you know, burned out glass packs and hollow mufflers.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
That was going on. So I was able to tell this woman that, yeah, it sounds about like this all year long. And she, boy, I've never seen an old lady burn out as rapidly as she did.
Oh, that is funny. That, yeah, I mean, that's really funny.
I wanted to talk history with you just a second because I found myself watching a show that inspired me to Google the British Royal Marines. I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but the show in question was Naked and Afraid. And one of the contestants on it, trying to survive out in the middle of South Africa without any food or whatever, was a sergeant major in the commandos. He said, the girl he was with said, "What unit were you in?" He said, "I was a commando." And I thought, come on, that's not very specific. So I Googled it all. I wound up with a website, actually probably Wikipedia, the history of the British Royal Marines and their formation back in the 1600s. And then a list, this is what threw me for a loop. There was a list of every conflict that the Royal Marines have been sent to participate in.
Yeah.
And I was reading down this list. There were a lot of things. I'm an Anglophile. So in certain circles, Randy and I would not be allowed to socialize with each other, but I am, fond of learning about British history. And so this 43 wars or conflicts that the Royal Marines were called out for. And let's see, the first one was the Second Anglo-Dutch War in 1665.
Yeah.
And then the Third Anglo-Dutch War. I don't know where, I guess they didn't have any Marines in the First Anglo-Dutch War. But then there was a Willamite War in Ireland, which I never heard of before. There's a lot of research yet to be done on this. The War of Spanish Succession. I've heard about it, but I've forgotten about it. The War of Jenkins' Ear. I don't know who Jenkins was. Apparently he's missing an ear, I'm guessing.
Well, that's one of the famous ones. I've studied a lot about Jenkins' Ear War.
I'm going to want to learn that about, maybe it's easier to talk to you about it than to Google it. But then we get down to the 20th century and we find, the Indonesia-Malaysia confrontation. That sounds like it might have been interesting. The Aden emergency. Aden is a city at the southern tip of the Sinai Peninsula, I believe. The Dhofar Rebellion. Oh, and there are the Troubles.
We know all about the Troubles.
I did not know that that was the official name that the Royal Marines would have used to list in their list of wars or, things, conflicts that they were, but the Troubles is the official name that they gave to this thing.
Yeah.
And of course, as you know, it went on from the late 60s to the late 90s, 30 years of skirmishes.
And some people would argue
are still fighting them.
That is still going, but
yeah,
not as active and not as open.
Well, I know they had to get rid of all public garbage cans in the UK because the IRA or the provos, I guess, were putting bombs in them and stuff like that. It seems to have changed life in the UK considerably.
Well, even the last time I was over there, and this wasn't so much the Troubles as it was the internal strife in Ireland itself. But I've told you that in between the Catholic areas in Northern Ireland and the Protestant areas in Northern Ireland, the only way they can keep peace is I was driving along this, this one particular road is this dividing line. And there are, 40, 50, maybe higher than that, razor wire walls.
And I
said, why do we have, well, I was talking to my friend that I was with. I said, why do they have to be so tall? And he goes, because the maverick person can't chuck a firebomb that high.
Oh, yeah. I didn't remember that. It was interesting going down history or memory lane. I mean, some of these things have had movies made about them, like the Boxer Rebellion. 55 Days at Peking was all about the Boxer Rebellion. And there was a movie that I dearly loved. It was, I know the name of the movie was Khartoum, and it was about Lord Gordon and his defense of the city of Khartoum. I think he was beheaded before reinforcements arrived. I don't hate to give away the movie, but
that was a kind of probably a bad weekend for him.
Yeah, probably so. You know what? We should take a break for some commercials while I prepare my Medicare content for today.
Absolutely. Let's do that.
All righty. The content curator tells me that we've got some great stuff for today, so I can't wait to dig into this. I'm going to set aside my history and come back to that another time. I had some interesting correspondence from a woman who is not a client, but she couldn't have been more complimentary. And I'm going to read through this very quickly because there is a lesson here. She says, "Dear Doug," she calls me Doug, even though she and I have never spoken and she's not. So she's very familiar with our efforts. Otherwise, people call me Douglas because that's the name on the book. My husband started on Medicare a couple of years ago and signed up in advance for high deductible Plan G through Mutual of Omaha, which had the least expensive premium of that plan from the various insurance companies that we got giant piles of junk mail from. So they pawed through I tell people, just take the junk mail and pitch it. But these people pawed through all the junk mail, I guess sorted it out by company, looked at the rates that were printed and found that Mutual of Omaha had the lowest rate for high deductible Plan G. And they knew that plan was the best for them because of all the times I've talked about it. So to go on, she says, I subsequently, when I turned 65, also signed up for high deductible Plan G through Mutual of Omaha a few months before I became eligible for Medicare about a year ago. Our premiums here in Illinois are quite low. She's talking about $45 a month for her husband. Male rates are always higher, and $40 a month for her. But I'm not sure if those rates include a household discount. One of the Mutual of Omaha marketing ploys is that they offer a household discount under certain circumstances. And it's in Illinois, it's a 12% discount. So it's fairly meaningful. So she goes on to say, my husband and I both wanted that the supplement policies from Mutual of Omaha, but we didn't expect to get the discount since we were not applying at the same time. Mutual of Omaha also wanted a separate email address for each of us in regard to our policy. So my husband gets emails from them through our home address, and I get emails from them through the email of the family business, which is a small law firm, she says. How can I check to see if Mutual of Omaha is applying a household discount to our high deductible Plan G premiums? So, okay, I'm thinking, okay, that's her primary question. Had she used me as an agent, that wouldn't have been a problem for her. I would have made sure that she got the discount. And I'll explain that in a minute. In any case, we were quite pleased with the very reasonable premiums on our high deductible Plan G policies, especially compared to the short-term health insurance policies we had been on once the Obamacare policies became unaffordable for us. It was too difficult for us to restrict our household income to qualify for the subsidized premium rates under Obamacare because they make too much money to be subsidized. And the high deductible, at that time it was $2,700. This year it's $2,800. That high deductible is only about 1/4 the size of the deductibles we had been stuck with on the short-term health insurance. So our current deductibles don't seem high at all. In addition, local doctors and hospitals seem to have a lot of difficulty understanding and honoring the short-term health insurance, but almost no problems at all with Medicare. They can still be slow to process the bills through Medicare and the supplement that we have, the high deductible Plan G. They can still be slow to process those bills. Well, don't worry about it. It's not your money. Let them take all year. Let them take forever to process those bills. That's the, you know, if you have to pay your 20% share of a doctor's appointment and it takes them a year to finally get around to sending you a bill for your 20%, hey, that's money you've been able to maybe take to the casino and gamble away or something. You can have some fun with that money while they're goofing around at the government trying to finish their accounting processes. Anyway, she went on to say, we have been purchasing the Kindle edition of your book for a few years now, starting with the 2022 edition just before my husband went on Medicare, and have found its advice to be very helpful. Even though we have been doing it yourself, DIY, following that advice rather than following up with you. I also have been listening to your podcast regularly for over a year now. First via Amazon Music and subsequently via email notifications. Thank you so much for all of your practical, quick-to-digest advice. And her name is Catherine. And Catherine, thank you for writing. Thanks for breaking my heart. As long as you've been following, reading, and listening, you still didn't call me to be your agent, and some other person was able to get the benefit of your business. So I cannot say that you were my client, although someday perhaps you will be. Now, here's my response. I said, "Hello, Catherine. Thank you very much for writing, as well as purchasing my book and listening to my podcast. If I were to make one mildly critical comment, it would be tisk, tisk, tisk. If you had allowed me to assist your husband and then you, there would have been no question about that 12% household discount that Mutual of Omaha has available in Illinois. The sole criterion is living with a spouse. That spouse does not even have to purchase a Medicare supplement from Mutual of Omaha in order for the spouse who does buy that plan to earn the discount. Here is the good news. If you call Mutual of Omaha customer service, and I gave the telephone number, they will be able to tell you whether the discount was applied to either of your policies. If it was not, they will be able to provide that discount for each of you. Be sure to have your policy numbers handy when you call." And then I said, "If you discover that the discount has not been applied, I will utter that same admonition to the agent who had the privilege of representing you both. That person earned an additional commission due to that oversight." I think I'm backwards there. I think he probably robbed himself. No, he did. He earned, because the discount was not applied, so the premium was higher than it should have been, most likely. So I wrapped it up by saying, "Someday the premium increases will cause you to think about changing Medicare supplement companies. When that day comes, I hope you will contact me for quotes. I will be pleased to show you rates for the same excellent plan from a range of highly rated companies. Thanks again for writing, Doug Jones. P.S. The new Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024 has hit Amazon Kindle shelves recently, and if you make that purchase, please remember that nothing warms the cockles of a young author's heart like a very short written review." So that was my nudge to, at least if I can't get a commission out of you, at least maybe I can get a review out of you. So I'm hoping someday to be able to talk to them, if not face-to-face, at least directly, and to forge a more solid relationship with them. Now, here's an article that I ran across that I think is kind of interesting. In view of the fact that this book, for the first time in about 3 years, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024, does not have anything about my favorite, my only Medicare Advantage plan that I don't hate. And that plan has been taken off the market. But this article talks about Medicare Advantage plans that are unusual, not quite the same as those that we hear about, you know, when Jimmy J.J. Walker and people like that are talking about in their incessant advertising. So the article is entitled Questions About HMO, POS, which normally stands for Piece of Doo-Doo, PFFS, or MSA Medicare Advantage plans. Here's what you should know. And it's written by our old buddy Diane Omdahl, who is a Wisconsin Medicare expert who does not sell any insurance. So she says there's a variety of Medicare Advantage plan types, and you should understand the differences. In reality, I don't think you have to understand the differences, but in case you want to, that's why I'm addressing this subject right now. The Medicare Advantage open enrollment period began January 1st and will end March 1st. It was mostly created, it was created for people who realize that they got rooked by a Medicare Advantage plan. It gives people who have a Medicare Advantage plan one opportunity to make a change during that three-month period to either change to a different stupid Medicare Advantage plan or to bail out and get back into original Medicare with the opportunity to buy a Medicare supplement. And this is probably to avoid a popular uprising against the government. So they have, it's like a safety valve, 3 months, January, February, and March. If you've got a Medicare Advantage, you want to get out of it, that's your opportunity. So she goes on to say, many are familiar with HMO, health maintenance organizations, and PPO, preferred provider organization, Medicare Advantage plans, both of which account for over 95% of Medicare Advantage plans, but there are three plans that are not as well known. One of those three is the HMO-POS plan. It doesn't really stand for piece of doo-doo. It stands for point of service. This is an HMO plan that adds a point of service option. A few years ago, I rarely saw an HMO-POS plan, but today there are more. For example, in a North Carolina city, they now make up almost a quarter of the available Medicare Advantage plans. Here are a few points about the HMO part. There are likely zero premium plans in every location. HMO plans tend to have lower cost sharing and lower out-of-pocket maximum limits than PPO plans do. Members will probably need to select a primary physician who will coordinate care. They must see providers in the network for routine, non-emergency medical care. Other than true medical emergencies, an HMO plan may not pay for care outside the network. The plan can require a referral from a primary physician to see a specialist or other healthcare provider. That is a bone of contention. That really causes a lot of angst with Medicare Advantage plans, having to get permission to see a specialist. There are prior authorization requirements. There's another big, big trouble spot in Medicare Advantage plans. And finally, it says HMO plans can include drug coverage. However, if there is no drug coverage, members cannot purchase a standalone Part D drug plan. The POS option allows a plan member to receive services out of the network. You might think that's great. You have options for enhanced coverage. However, the plan determines the services that it will cover. So check plan documents for out-of-network coverage. I have reviewed many Medicare Advantage HMO-POS plans recently, and the only out-of-network offered, an out-of-network option offered, is for dental services. An HMO-POS plan can work for those who want lower costs, can live with a network for medical coverage, and be willing to find a new doctor if the plan changes networks, which happens all too often. The POS option will likely provide more flexibility for dental coverage. Okay, well, we know from prior episodes of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast that the dental coverage that's included in many Medicare Advantage plans relies on a tiny, tiny network of dentists who are mostly recent dental school graduates hoping to fill the chairs in their brand new practices. So I have never been to a dentist that accepts any kind of a discount or belongs to a network of dental providers. And I think the reason for that is that they don't want to give up the money that they can make from attracting people like me looking for good quality dentistry. Here's the second of the three plans, the PFFS plan, private fee-for-service Medicare Advantage plans. They were introduced in 1997. These plans had many attractive features, which made them perfect for snowbirds, other travelers, and even sponsors of retiree plans. Plan members, that's you, can choose to see any Medicare-approved provider who will accept the plan's terms and conditions. They are not limited to networks. There are no referral or prior authorization requirements, and the plan may or may not include prescription drug coverage. The popularity led to rampant growth. Between 2005 and 2006, enrollment increased 932%. Okay, from the two people they had to like eight people. While overall enrollment growth in Medicare Advantage was only 37%, and rampant growth in Medicare often leads to changes. In 2011, PFFS plans in network areas had to establish contracts with healthcare providers just as other Medicare Advantage plans do. Members still could see out-of-network providers, but the services would cost more. As a result, the plan started to disappear. In other words, it got to be a good thing with too much freedom of choice, so the Nazis wrecked it. And now almost nobody has these. By 2016, only about 1% of Medicare Advantage enrollees have PFFS plans, and probably half of those people are comatose and they can't disenroll because they're not conscious. I did a quick search of 15 zip codes across the country using Medicare Plan Finder. I found one PFFS plan in Milwaukee and Chicago and four in Bella Vista, Arkansas. The plans have monthly premiums ranging from $15 to $130 and out-of-pocket maximums from $6,700 to $7,500 in and out of network. Three did not include prescription drug coverage. If there's a PFS plan available, it could be a good fit for those who want the freedom and are willing to pay more to see any provider who accepts Medicare assignment without prior authorization or referral requirements. Plus, the plan provides benefits that Medicare does not cover, like dental and vision services. So if you live in Milwaukee, Chicago, or Bella Vista, Arkansas, you might be able to find a PFS plan that will work well for you. Now, the third is the MSA, Medicare MSA, and this is the plan that I had a chapter on in my book for the last few years. And then the company who provided it, the insurance company, decided to stop selling it. They took it off the marketplace. Medicare MSA plan, after a lengthy demonstration trial period, Medicare savings account, MSA plans, became available to beneficiaries in 2007. What made an MSA unique is its two parts. A high deductible. The member must pay this deductible before the plan contributes anything. Only Medicare-covered expenses count towards the deductible. Once it's met, the plan covers 100% of all Part A and Part B expenses. The amount of the deductible varies from plan to plan and from year to year. And the other part is the Medicare or medical savings account. The member sets up an account at a bank that the plan selects. Unlike a health savings account, the member cannot contribute to an MSA. The plan decides how much money to contribute and deposits money into that account. For example, the deductible is $5,400 and the plan contributes $1,500 to the savings account. The great Medicare MSA plan that we used to tout was, I think it was a $5,000 deductible, and the plan contributed $3,000 in cash to the member. And then the plan was in like 35 states, and it had not gone to all the states yet, but we had high hopes. So plan members can use funds from their savings accounts to pay for deductibles and other qualified medical expenses. The funds can carry over into the following years. The plans were offered in limited areas. In 2019, there were about 6,700 enrollees. Many believe that MSAs would become popular because of the rise of high deductible employer plans. In 2022, there were 11 plans available. In 2024, there is only one, and that's in Wisconsin. And ladies and gentlemen, I contacted that plan, asked them a couple of questions a couple of weeks ago. They have yet to answer me. I don't think they're interested in selling that plan. Only those who live in that one MSA plan's Wisconsin service area can get this coverage. They want the freedom to choose doctors who accept Medicare assignment and believe that their health expenses won't exceed the deductible or they will meet the deductible quickly. In 2023, a survey of Medicare beneficiaries, almost 30% wish they had known about other options. This is Medicare Advantage members. 30% of them wish they had been told about other options before enrolling in their stupid Medicare Advantage plans. Of these three plans, an HMO POS is likely the only viable option for very many. But remember, the decision about how a Medicare plan requires a realistic The decision about a Medicare plan requires a realistic assessment of your needs, not only now, but in the future. Any plan can be painful if not selected carefully. So I just realized that we spent so much time on English and Irish history that we've burned up pretty much the whole episode right now. Randy?
The 75 cents, Doug, is gone.
Why is inflation not a factor in our pricing structure? The 75 cents has been that way for years.
I don't know. But you're right. We need to land the plane. And I decided we're coming in on 23 right today.
Well, somebody's going to have to tell me where to find that runway.
And ultimately, there's a few things, as you know, if you have listened to us before, that I always like to take care of before we do land the plane and drop you off at the terminal. But there's a couple other comments I want to make first. We haven't talked about the Obama plan for quite a few, if not years.
You mean Obamacare?
Well, that's the reason I brought this up, is because one of my jobs early on in this podcast was to come up with catchy names for stuff so people could remember it. And as you remember, it wasn't Obamacare. It was Obama don't care. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. That's
there was true. That one. And then as related to your discussion on prior authorization, I took that from a prior first lady to say, just say no.
Yeah.
Just
excellent.
Say no. So anyway, having said all that, grab your pencil. There's a few things I always do first. And Doug loves to hear from you. And you can do that by reaching out to him with an email of dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Don't forget, Doug is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out at the website, medicareforthelazyman.com. We would appreciate it if you could drop a couple reviews for us on any of the content that Doug produces. Books, you know, podcasts, you know, you name it, he does it. But last but certainly not least, thank you for joining us. You could have been a number of different places and you weren't. You hung in there with us at Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And as Doug mentioned, we have used up our 75 cents, but it did buy us 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, originally from Oklahoma. No more. He's living in the high ground behind Cave Creek, Arizona. And I normally, you know, measure how high that is. Today, we're having a beautiful sunny day. So I'm going to raise him up in the altitude just a little bit to 18,500 feet.
Oh, boy, that's going to be bone chilling, but I'm ready for it. So thank you so much, Randy. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We will look forward to seeing you at our next episode. Bye-bye.